Welcome to episode 5 of the Make It All Better podcast. Enjoy.
I told people on mine to go live in 5, so maybe I should tell them right now.
Live in 5? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been about 5, right?
It's been 5. It's been 3, 4, 5, 6. Who gives a flip?
Let's hang out for a second before we get to the good stuff. Let people come in.
Yeah. The thing is, I did want to talk about, we should let anybody know that was with us last time. Hey, guys, how you doing? If they've been waiting for the episodes of the podcast that we kind of botched up on our end, we botched it. It was my fault, really.
Because we did get together and we did do one.
So right now we have 3 done, and we put the 4th one in the hopper because we did record the 4th one. Unfortunately, this microphone that I have, I would not recommend it. Maybe I guess I would. I don't know.
But it's a good mic.
It was literally 6 inches too far from our general vicinity of speaking space. By the way, I'm loud. Miguel's loud. And it didn't record us loud enough.
No. It would have been pretty annoying for people, like, letting their ears bleed trying to hear something.
No matter what you did. So even though you jacked up the audio
to unsafe zone. I turned it, like, in the cartoon when you see, like, don't turn it past this point with the red line.
Yeah, Back to the Future.
Yeah, I went, like, 10 times past that. Still no, and you no go, bueno.
Oh, bruh.
Yeah, fly back.
Was that that power surge I felt over in SoCal?
That was me trying to fix our podcast. So episode 4.5.
Okay.
Here we are.
Maybe we just skip it. It's like the 11th floor. Is it like the 11th floor or is the 13th floor?
That's
where the buildings don't count.
You know what?
We don't count it.
In this anime I'm watching, you just mentioned JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. There's a character, he won't do anything with the number 4. So we're skipping 4.
What does that mean? What's his problem
with
4?
He just said it's bad luck. Like, he won't touch 4. Like, he has bullets for his guns, and he won't use a 4th bullet.
Cool. Character.
Right?
Yeah. It's a cool character.
It's a cool character, right?
Yeah.
Like, something falls on the ground. His bullets fell on the ground one time, and 4 fell. And he told his buddy, like, quick, throw another bullet on there. I don't want to look at 4 bullets. I need to see 5.
That's OCD. Yeah.
Okay. Cool character. You know what? That's a little OCD now.
Well, do you have any OCD situations?
You know what? As a kid, I had a bad one I feel I got over. I used to, if I touched something with one hand, I had to touch it with the other, like a doorknob. Wow. So if I was at Disneyland or something with the family and I accidentally touched something with one hand, even if we were far away, it would kill me. I had to run back over there and, like, touch it with the other hand.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's pretty severe.
Got over it. Fought it.
How'd you fight it? You're aware of it.
I was aware of it. You know what? One thing I heard to get serious is people said if you talk out loud about it or you say it out loud, it helps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm touching this right now with the left hand and it's okay. I don't need to touch it with my right hand.
I see. Okay.
See? You see now? Have you?
I was going to go some really awkward places with that joke without this as your childhood. I'm not going to. But I will say, you might have been sick quite often because you're over here touching everything 2 hands constantly.
Maybe that's why I was always sick.
Really?
You just figured, no, I wasn't.
No, okay. That would have been a nice little.
As strong as an ox.
I show up today, guys got a half a shirt on. You know?
Hey, Darkwing Duck official. Thanks for the wave.
Are they in here? Oh, you love Darkwing Duck. He's right there.
Yeah.
Do they know you from the. Do they know how much you draw?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, guys. Cool, you follow me? I haven't drawn him yet. I haven't drawn him yet.
Well, it took you 2 months to draw Mickey after I asked you.
Yo, I drew Scrooge McDuck, though, for DuckTales from the Crypt.
DuckTales from the Crypt.
Thank you. Yeah, nobody better steal that.
Dude, that's a great idea.
I sometimes throw some out there, okay? I don't know why you're so surprised. I mean,
hey, George.
It's only been 6 months of podcasts. How you guys doing?
Hey, George. George is here, buddy, George.
Oh, George is here.
Says hi.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Who's George? I'm not joking.
He's one of my best friends.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Good guy.
And you still want to watch him after you guys are such good friends? Good for you, George. That's impressive. Now, this is episode 5, since we've now talked about
skipping forward.
That JoJo has ruined the 4th for us.
Thank
now.
You. That's correct.
We're going to break the 4th wall by looking directly at the camera.
Darkwing said, thanks for drawing me.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. You got him right. You can't put down a bad line. Okay. You guys want to know a classic line right here from your friend and my friend Miguel Wilson?
We weren't joking either. That's the thing.
He was having himself a sizzler of a day, I guess, on the old Cintiq. It was really creating some sparks over there, and that little friction just really jam it down, right? I give him a text. I go, "How you doing, buddy?" He goes, "Can't put down a bad line." Did you see the way he just mouthed the end of what I said? God, dog, dude. So he's over here sizzling away, smoking up a storm on the Cintiq. Juice King asks him how he's doing. He slaps me in the face. I've got a lot of people waving right now. Hey, guys, thanks for coming in here.
Hey, Derek.
You guys have got here a little bit early, actually the right time, because we're going to start right now. We've already been talking a little bit about some things. Miguel was actually opening up quite a bit about your OCD when you were a kid. No. Well, here's the thing. Okay, I had similar, and I do have similar.
Tell us.
Wow, there's actually quite a few.
Okay.
I did this light switch thing, and I know it's a pretty standard one. Oh, I know it's a pretty standard OCD thing, yes, but sometimes... here's my best one. The light switch thing is kind of boring. The best one is on the controller, the remote control, with my right hand. I still do it to this day. I don't think it's OCD as much as just passing the time.
Okay.
If I have the controller in my hand and watching a show, every controller has an...
battery compartment?
No, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, where you put your Kybar crystals in it. We've already seen that today. You've already showed me the lightsaber, the whole thing.
Okay.
Where it has volume up and down and then channel up and down. So there's two places. There's one, two, three, four. So you got JoJo when I have a good time. But there's two on top, two on bottom. And I do this move where I touch them all like this. Do you see what I'm doing right here? I can do it in my sleep. You go top, left, bottom, right, top, right, bottom, left, top.
Sounds like you needed like one of those fidget cubes. Like you're a fidgeter.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to have to diagnose me today. I'm not on the couch. Okay. Not on the couch. This is not therapy session.
Yeah. Fidget cube is your next Christmas gift.
You know, I've actually been told that my feet fidget a lot when I'm talking too. Is it a nervous energy?
Is it go back to what we were discussing earlier, where we just feel like we constantly need to be doing something, or we're behind?
We were talking about, and let's bring it up right now with freelance. We're both freelancers, and the jobs come in, and sometimes they come in waves, sometimes they come in a trickle.
Yep.
And when they come in a trickle, you got to figure out how to focus. And make sure that you are churning something out.
That's right.
Or working on something. Or what I like, there's a great line from this book called Orbiting the Giant Hairball. I've mentioned it before.
I need to read this book because you've mentioned it time and time again.
I've mentioned it before. But it's about how you don't see the cow making the milk. You see what I'm saying? It's the act of it is going on all the time. The act of creativity happens all the time. You cannot monetize the time it takes to make up an idea. So,
it's not Krispy Kreme. We don't see those donuts back there getting glazed.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of hungry. So you just don't go and hit one plus one equals two. Here's the best idea ever.
Right.
You know, you really have to go through the time of letting that idea marinate,
mm-hmm,
or anything marinate. And so how do you actually focus on it when it's invisible? I don't know. It's fascinating.
I love it. No, I love this type of stuff. And I feel like you truly understand it if you have done the freelance artist life type thing, because that's where you find your flow. And that's where you need to find when you get in the creative zone and when you take the break and when you rest and when you turn it on and when you force yourself to turn it on, even if you can't. I mean, that's juggling all of that.
Well, and you're bringing up actually an interesting point. A lot of freelancers talk about the physical acts of getting out of the plate, out of your house, apartment, wherever you do, or even if you do a full time job, and doing a little bit of physical activity, but on top of that, it's a mental activity as well, where you have so many artists are self doubters, and we're the first ones to think our stuff is not as good as somebody else. But the imposter syndrome, I've been seeing that go along around a lot lately, especially with the advent of how popular Instagram is,
right, and how that boosts your ego or brings it down. You could think you did amazing on a piece and you post it. You don't get that many likes, and you go, "Well, I thought this was amazing. Maybe it wasn't."
You throw your welcome out the window. You know, you go, "Here it is. Here's the piece that's going to really do it," and then you realize, "Why am I hinging so much of my happiness on how somebody responds to something I do?"
Right.
That's extremely difficult now, because that little number down there with the by the heart, that really means a lot to a lot of people.
Yep.
And I don't know how somebody that hasn't experienced that. I'm even getting sucked into it, and I'm damn near my late 30s.
Well, it's an endorphin release when you see the likes go up. That's a fact. That's not just a figure of speech.
It's the dopamine. The dopamine talking. So what if we always are just addicted to this dopamine rush? What happens when it's not there? What, and it's not always there?
Mm-mm.
What we didn't used to actually seek it out. I mean, we didn't. Did we?
No. When you,
I don't remember anything that would.
Well, also you said before, talked about websites and how they used to be. We used to post our work on, "Hey, check out my website." And if people had time, they could go check it out. Now, who goes to a website? It's like, what's your social media handle?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. They won't go to
a www.
I don't find that they. I don't find it. It's integral anymore. It's quicker in the process,
and it's more spontaneous to just open up because most people are already opening up their Twitter or their Instagram.
Yeah.
And they're able just to see what you're all about there, and then they get to also check out that number, like we've discussed about how many followers you have.
Oh, and that's immediate snap judgment to if they want to follow you or not, or how cool you are, or your perceived notion of cool.
So, hey everyone, that's in here again. I've got Justin Harder with me. The great Justin Harder, if you don't know him already, because we're on my account. This man right here, that he just got done running the 400. He's got it sponsored by Nike. He's got his warm-up jersey still on right here.
Usain Bolt.
Yeah. So Justin is an amazing artist, creative director, Cloud Studios. You do your intro better than I do. So
go ahead. I don't think I do. I'm just embarrassed.
That was pretty good. I'm going to keep going. Then.
Okay.
He did the end credits for Deadpool. He did the end credits for Book of Life. He did the in for credits for Thor 2.
Okay.
He's got a Target line out right now. If you don't know who he is, check out his Instagram. It's just Klaus Studios.
Very sweet.
How's that?
That's better than I've ever done.
Really? Ever?
Yeah, not ever.
Okay.
Not ever. I've had a couple other ones that were a little bit better than that.
They were
thanks a lot, man.
You're welcome.
So this is our podcast, Make It All Better. Miguel Wilson here.
Thank you.
The man, the myth, and the legend. He's so busy. It's now been 3 weeks since we've been able to do this because he's out been gallivanting. It's going to bring us right into our next point, is Galaxy's Edge. The man's been at Galaxy's Edge 3 times in the past, I guess maybe 2 weeks. Has it been?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. He brought a pamphlet here from it. So I haven't been to it yet. It's been reservation only.
I was invited. Just to let you guys know.
I was invited. We're going to do it together. We're going to have a little podcast going together here at Galaxy's Edge. Unfortunately, this licensing expo thing popped up, and I bailed on it in hopes to get some work here. But let's talk about Galaxy's Edge for a second.
Okay.
What were your biggest takeaways from it? Did you feel like the design? I've always felt that Disneyland, obviously, small little walkways. I don't know. It looks like they've figured out how to manage a crowd. Go.
I could talk about this the whole podcast, so it's hard to try to sum it up. But I will say it was amazing. It was like being truly on another planet. You're supposed to be on Batuu. All the cast members are great. They are in character. There's no signs anywhere that say Star Wars or Disneyland because they want you to be fully immersed in here. Like you're truly in a different land, another area.
Cool.
And you don't feel like you're in Disneyland. You feel like you're somewhere else across the galaxy. Every way you look is a photo opportunity. The cool lighting during the day, cool decor, backdrops. I mean, everything's a photo op. There's awesome just merchandise. The food was good. I enjoyed the food. And the ride is a blast, Smuggler's Run here on the Millennium Falcon.
Is there only one ride open right now?
Currently only one ride open. And the next one, Rise of the Resistance, opens later this year.
Cool.
I was able to check out Oga's Cantina each time I was there. It's a Star Wars-themed cantina with alcoholic drinks. So much fun.
You can actually have a little sip and slip there.
Maximum
huh?
of 2 drinks, but they do serve pre-made alcoholic drinks.
How do they know?
Mm-hmm.
How do they know?
How do they know what?
That you can only have 2 drinks. You can go.
Well, your server knows how many you bought.
But you can go and come back.
That's right. This guy's always thinking ahead. That's why I have him on the podcast.
Did I just solve the riddle here? It sounds like you can have multiple.
Well, the other thing is like I've been with friends that they don't want to have their drinks. They'll have a regular drink, and they'll buy 2 alcoholic ones, and they'll slide them on over. So then you get 3 or 4 right there.
All I'm saying is that you got to watch out for people in these places because these rides, they can induce motion sickness. And if people have been getting hooched up, guess what happens next? Dirty diapers.
Lightsaber fights against stormtroopers.
Really? They'll hit them?
Really?
How did you see that?
No, but I said, sure enough, someone will act crazy enough. So that brings me to the next thing. The coolest thing I did, dream come true, being a huge Star Wars fan from as far back as I can remember, was building my own lightsaber because they treat it like it's this very hush-hush, secretive, special thing because they don't. You can't say lightsaber because the First Order's landed there. There's stormtroopers and Kylo Ren walking around. So you have to say, I'm looking to make something out of scrap metal. And they whisk you away to this little hidden area, and you pick up what type of parts you want to
use. How can they do this with each person? There's thousands and thousands of people.
Well,
there's
a dedicated like line, and then when I was there, there's 4-hour increments to be in the park. So there's only so many people they can accept in this line at a time.
Okay.
The first time I had went, I didn't make it to build a lightsaber. It was already capped for the day. I did go to the cantina and the ride though. And then so my next time I got to go, I made it a point. I really wanted to build a lightsaber. Myself and Jared Maruyama, I had a lot of fun with. We built lightsabers, and that was the first thing we did. We went to go to that line. We got in it before they capped it. So once they know you're in line, all the fun comes about. The character acting happens, and you know they're asking you what calls to you, what parts call to you, and there's different parts that you can build your lightsaber out of. Obviously, some are more Sith related, like power and control. Some are more Jedi themed, peace and justice. There's like Knights of the Old Republic theme. There's nature themed, which have like Rancor tooths you can add to your lightsaber and stuff crazy. That's like pretty that. Sick. Yeah. So you get all these options. You go in there, you have this secret ceremony. There's only 14 people at once in this room that can build lightsaber.
See, this is very similar to the wand thing that happens right, at Harry Potter. I didn't do it, but I couldn't get in. It was just the bookshelves, everything's tiny. It's made for Lilliputians. Anyway.
Yeah, so they want it special, only a few people at a time. You build a lightsaber. You pick a kyber crystal for your color of your blade. You build the saber. You have a ceremony. Master Yoda speaks to you. You light it up. You get a carrying case when you leave. It's a lot of fun.
Spoilers, everybody.
I mean, people are watching these YouTube videos. They're everywhere now.
Master Yoda shows up. I mean, come on. It's kind of a big deal. How's it show? Hologram?
No. Just the voice and the green lighting.
They cheaped out. Chinched out again, dude.
Someone said Miguel has the Infinity Gauntlet back there. That's right.
That's all he has. If he moves that camera around, he's got so many sweet figurines back here. It will make your head spin. We put that on last one. And he snapped, and we disappeared the episode, basically.
Yeah, that's what happened.
We disappeared the episode because it didn't go through. Welcome to the show, guys. Make it all better. Miguel just got done. He spent a good deal of what are they called? What are these called?
Jedi tokens.
It costs 5 Jedi tokens to make yourself one lightsaber. So go get a Jedi token. I was going to use Disney bucks. Apparently, they don't have them anymore. I haven't since 91. I don't know. I don't know where I've been.
They also have a cool gift card. It's like a gold ticket looking coin. It's Bantuian money. It's kind of like rations, but it's a so rechargeable cool. gift card. So you put money on there and you can use it at all Disney parks and like, Disney stores.
It's like a credit card.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
That's pretty
sick. I got one of those. It was really cool to use that. You always want to use it now whenever you go to the park. Like, use this Bantuian coin.
Probably going to go in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to have enough time to be hitting the Star Wars like you did. Because I mean, I want to walk through, but 3-hour lines, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah, so today was the opening day, just so we have on record, of Galaxy's Edge with no reservation required. Meaning the last month, you needed a hotel reservation to get in the queue for 4 hours to go into Galaxy's Edge at a time.
Okay.
So today's the first day where they lifted that, and now just it was completely open for the public.
This segment is sponsored by Disney's Galaxy's Edge. If you guys haven't been there yet, may the Force be with you. And also with the other person in the room with you watching. You guys, this is a friendly show. We have a lot more to go on here today. What else is next?
I know what's next.
Oh, shoot, Godzilla.
No. I want to get here. I want to see this.
It's almost ready. I'll do it. You already hyped me enough. It's embarrassing. Guys, so I'm going to talk about, I'm not just going to do this live because we have people that are listening as well. I finally got this book, Squints 3, printed. This is the first copy that they send you a proof. If you guys want to ever, anybody wants to print anything of theirs, I don't know if there's any artists out there that want to print up their sketchbooks. I have a guy that does these for extremely affordable prices, 8x10 books, all colored. Every single page, beautiful printouts here. There's the turtles in my style. I call them squints because if you're looking for the whites of their eyes, look elsewhere. That's my tagline. I even botched it. What do you think of that? So you have Chris Farley there and David Spade with the kingpin. Look at that. I actually think I made his head too big, honestly. So this is all my figure drawings I've done over the past year and a half. I did 72 in the past year. This is the thickest one I have between the squints 1, 2, and 3. Number 3 is the biggest. And all of the books come in. This week they all come in. I'm really happy with the print job. I kind of tweaked a lot of the layouts here because I didn't want any bleeds. You see how this one here, I like the bleed here on the yellow. I don't like this. I did not like this, so I went back and changed. How much are we saying
yeah.
for the book? The book will probably be 15 Jedi tokens.
There you go.
Or one lightsaber. Just send me that, and we'll send you this. No, I think it's gonna be $15. But I'm gonna release them. I'm going to release them at different intervals because
Well, you have some with you.
I want to roll them out at Comic-Con, SDCC. Okay. If you guys are going to go to Comic-Con, I will not have a booth this year, but I'll do a pop-up. I usually do a booth over in Small Press.
Okay.
But they kiboshed me this year.
Right.
Gave me the old zipper. We talked about that.
Swindle.
So $15. I'll be bringing these to Comic-Con. I'll also have an exclusive Deadpool screen print at Comic-Con that's going to be pretty cool to have. Oh. I'll be popping up in like a hotel.
I want to join this guy. I'm working on a giant collage of the new Star Wars characters. I want to drop at Comic-Con as well.
Sweet. With
all this Star Wars Galaxy's Edge influence.
Very cool.
The creative juices are flowing.
Okay, good. Good. The reason I couldn't go to Galaxy's Edge with him the first time, Miguel, I'm going to get into this.
Let's get into that.
This is a topic that's very important to a lot of artists. A lot of artists especially sell at comic conventions or online, or if you do fan art or anything like that, if somebody else's character, but you do your own interpretation of it. There's always been a kind of a gray area with, like, is this allowed? Is this not allowed? What's the deal here? And I got a lot of great information at the licensing expo I went to.
Okay.
And I'm not going to bore everybody with licensing expo talk. You know, this is where we do the hard-hitting topics. This is where we get the drama. Unfortunately, licensing expo is pretty cut and dry. It's not like it's razzmatazz, but I will say this. The floor build-out at the licensing expo rivals that of Comic-Con.
Really?
Insane. The booths are insane. The booths are bigger than Comic-Con booths. We have Warner Bros. We got Nickelodeon. We got HBO. We got Sanrio. We got Pokemon. We have every single licensor that puts this out there has a booth at this thing. And what happens is that they have at the booth, at the beginning, in the front of each booth, they have like a concierge
handles. Oh, right.
And there's nothing but tables behind you, behind her. So behind whoever it is.
Like E3-ish kind of.
I think that's exactly what it is. So people take meetings there. And what you do is you go there to figure out if you're a manufacturer, how to sell the product, blah, blah, blah. But there has been a massive lack, I felt, as soon as I walked in for artist representation. And that's with folks that want to get their artwork onto products potentially and have them out mass retailers. Like I was able to be so fortunate to have the Target line with the Marvel Artist Collaboration Series. And once that happened, I realized that there's definitely a need for unique voices and out there on products. Have you guys gone to Targets and Walmarts or just out there in general? There's a lot of products are kind of recycled artwork from the catalogs of Marvel's and DC's. So you're going to see a lot of DC Batman logos. It's another Marvel Avengers logo. These are all from their catalogs. So that's what the stores are allowed to print, or the manufacturers are allowed to print, because they already have that artwork. But what if the artwork looks like this, baby? And that's what I'm talking about.
Stylized,
impactful, or the sticks. So these are called squints. My other guys are called sticks. And so the Deadpool style, the Marvel Target style, that's called sticks, and what if they look like that? And so we made a lot of great contacts. I'm really excited about it. The sky.
Did you have samples with you when you were there?
Oh yeah, dude. So
blankets. Or?
I was at this bachelor party beforehand. So this is called falling asleep in a pool. This is why this is not good. It's not good for your skin.
you fell asleep in a Vegas pool.
Why am I like a tomato? Yeah, I like to fall asleep in the baby kids in the kids pool. Yeah. That's really creepy, just dude. Really
on your
creepy.
Back, so just your face is out of water.
Yeah, like Rambo. Yeah, when he pops up. I used to play like that as a kid. I used to swim underneath and pop up and just like grab kids and bring them down. Punch them, you know. I would. Yeah. Remember, like the little in the different
come out kiddie? Of the mud wall, like Rambo.
Dude, I could lay on that in the kiddie pool and just kind of grab them, bring them backwards. That's how I take down my brothers. Kind of a mess. So. There's a question right there. I don't know if you want to read it, Miguel, but
go ahead. I want you to finish your story.
Okay. On top of where is it going?
All the I'm saying licensing is that expo, you're trying to get stylized art.
If artists and we've talked about this before in the past, it's important because we want to know. First of all, we can do our thing, but to get it to this next echelon and level, we want to know how to get it out there on all the channels. So. It was great, man. It was great. Got some really cool leads. I did have my artwork with me. Actually, my mom had her iPad. They live in Henderson. And she was able to – I downloaded all my stuff from my website. By the way, this is not how you use an iPad.
That's what I thought you were doing.
Yeah. It's
playing Super Nintendo.
Yeah, it's a Nintendo controller.
Okay.
Yeah. I hook my Nintendo controller right up to the iPad. And just,
is that what you do? That's you're calling.
I do have a question, though.
Did you mention Miguel Wilson when you were there?
Of course. I name-dropped you all the time.
I hope you did.
The same thing you just did to me, I did with every single person I talked to.
I can't wait. The phone's been ringing off the hook.
I know it has. But I gave him my number though. So
that's what happened.
Yeah. So even though they wanted to use you, they kind of called me. I'm just sneaky like that. So what
still
I wanted to say,
the Rambo sneak attack still going on. But go ahead. Do you know where you're going with your next thing, or should we answer some questions?
I did have one thing to say.
Go ahead. Who is my favorite Star Wars character?
These are questions. Is this for Miguel?
These are both of us.
For Papa? It's for Miguel. Miguel, you go first.
Papito.
Oh, Papito! Jesus, come on.
Okay, favorite Star Wars character. I mean, I'm going to have to go.
You might have one back here.
Luke Skywalker.
Oh, he's got it right there. You guys see? Can you see?
I see it.
There it is.
Can we zoom on this?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, look at that.
There it is. Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker.
Pretty cliche there, Miguel.
I like Rey, though, as well, in the new series. I like Rey a lot. You know what? I like Kylo. People hate on Kylo. I like Kylo Ren as well. Okay, go ahead. Favorite Star Wars character.
Who was that one girl that got really bashed by everybody in that new episode?
Rose.
They all go, oh, she wasn't part of the franchise. She was my favorite.
Oh, yeah, that one?
Yeah.
The one you didn't know her name?
I was just trying to be throwing a bone there.
Okay, but go ahead.
I forgot her name.
But favorite Star Wars character, go.
I mean,
how big a Star Wars fan were you growing up? Because I want to make sure you know you were a fan.
I mean, I know their names. Actually, my buddy Jeff, he killed me one time. He goes, I said, hey man, it's pretty cool on that. I go, what mission did you get on Star Tours? And he was telling me all the different missions. I go, yeah. And he goes, what one did you get? And he goes, I go, oh, I did that one ice planet.
Oh my gosh.
And he goes,
Hoth?
He goes,
Hoth?
Ice planet?
Yeah.
He goes, Harder, what is your... He goes, I can't talk to you anymore. I go, what? I described the planet. He goes, it's Hoth.
Right.
And I go, Jesus.
Yeah.
Skewer the man.
Come on.
I got to go with Chewbacca. I posted him today. Yeah. I think he's lovable. I think he's like... Actually, it's probably Han Solo. Han Solo's got the best lines. He's cocky. You know what I like about Han Solo is Harrison Ford plays himself.
That's right. It's Indiana Jones with a space outfit on.
Which came first, though?
It was Star Wars. Star Wars, right?
Took a little time to get there, though.
Took
a little time to get there.
They were both back in the day.
No, but did you know how Harrison Ford got the gig?
He was working on set, right?
He was a carpenter.
That's right.
Just like Jesus Christ.
He just makes so much sense now.
It does.
He's such a great guy.
No, he was a carpenter first. What was your favorite comic
book?
My favorite comic book? You handle this one.
Man, I have so many growing up.
I can go.
Go ahead.
You think about your answer.
I have so many. Go ahead, though. Because there's a difference from comic covers to comic book. Because there's good, great covers that I didn't care for the book, but there's...
I'm going to go with Four Seasons was the best graphic novel I've ever read.
Okay.
A Superman for All Seasons. It was by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. If you've not read that comic, I went and got the trade paperback. Get the trade paperback right now. It's the best. Unbelievable writing for Superman. It's the best story I've ever read.
Really?
For Superman, yes.
Better than Kingdom Come?
I would
Come?
Say Killing Joke, yes.
Like Kingdom Come?
Alex Ross?
Yeah. That was a great story.
Well, the paintings, you can't argue with the paintings.
Right.
They're glorious. I don't even think I read anything with Alex Ross and stuff. I can't get my eyes off the artwork.
Yeah.
But being an illustrator, you know, I got to say my favorite, the ones that have the spot in my heart are the Image comic books.
Image.
So I started with Image. So I got
Savage Dragon.
I got Wildcat, Savage Dragon. He still draws that. They're up on like issue three, almost 300. Spawn's are going to hit 300 in a month, I think.
Yeah, it is.
And he's doing an old throwback Spider-Man cover, which looks totally sick. Wildcats, of course, Jim Lee was probably the biggest influence along with Mr. Rob Liefeld himself from Youngblood. Those are the guys.
He always comments and likes your stuff posted, I see.
It's extremely cool.
So cool.
To have an idol go and give you thumbs up like that?
Yeah.
It's, you know.
I'll talk about the dopamine release.
That it really is. No, he's the man.
When you don't get one from him, you throw that in the trash. You delete that post.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about these
days. favorite comic book for myself growing up, that would have been early 90s for me, late 80s, early 90s. And I read a lot of all the X-Men. Jim Lee, when Jim Lee was drawing X-Men.
Ah,
you see it on my wall over
here. Sure, yep. Changed all. He made the
Cyclops costume so cool. I mean, how he drew everybody was pretty awesome. I'd also have to say I loved Todd McFarlane's Torment series. It's Spider-Man and Wolverine that team up, fight the Wendigo in that series, I believe.
Okay.
I forget who else. Yeah, that was a great series I enjoyed.
I remember those covers.
Yeah,
I remember the way you drew Wendigo with that crazy hair.
Yep.
just the way he does all of his little swoops.
There's a cover have you where ever seen Spider-Man's in those trees and Wolverine's like walking down below.
Oh, that's the classic cover where Wolverine's all looking jacked in the tank top. You can see where he gets that idea from people right there. Have you seen Tom McFarlane talk about the way that he draws hands?
No.
The hands is extremely cool. He always crooks the fingers and the knuckles. And whenever he shows his hands on camera, I mean, he does all these YouTube videos.
Right, I've seen some.
His hands.
I saw the webbing one.
They look exactly like this character's hands. I mean, you talk about reference. I mean, his knuckles do bend this way. I go, there's no way he can go and hit those poses, McFarlane, with those knuckles. And he does. Yeah, it's crazy. That was a good question. Very nice question. Yeah, thank you.
The webbing, too. He calls it the spaghetti webbing.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen
that video? Like how and each string and strand is one continuous, is what he says. And I believe it. I mean, the way that he winds and it through there.
Yeah, it goes around.
Thoughts on Spider-Man Homecoming? Thoughts are most likely...
Wait, Homecoming? That's out already. You mean Far From Home? Or Far From Home's coming
out. I think that they meant Far From Home. Homecoming was good, though. Thank you for that question. I think they had a phenomenal end title sequence, too. A big end title sequence guy. And the folks that did that are at Perception out of New York, and they killed it. But when you talk about Far From Home, you're going to see it, no matter what.
I'm excited. I'm going to see it. Some people do say he's getting a little too Iron Man-ish, more than Spider-Man-ish, with the suits.
The suits.
Yeah. And everything, you know. I mean, I grew up at least watching the Fox series Spider-Man, and which is hilarious because he was supposed to be in high school and going into college, but he looks like he was 35 when you look at that animation. You know, he's buffed out.
Oh, which one?
The Fox series Spider-Man?
No. Fox series?
Yes. The Saturday morning Spider-Man cartoon, Fox series. The
one from heavy metal guitar intro?
No, the 90s. You've never watched
Anybody else want to back me up here, chat? What are you talking about?
Yes, everyone knows the Fox series Spider-Man.
Fox.
Same time as Batman the Animated Series, that time frame. But it was an X-Men.
I think you're younger Spider-Man than me. Spider-Man
cartoon.
I think you're younger than me.
Yeah, but you've never. Everyone's seen this. Even I don't if you're know a fan. If
I've seen it. I'm not kidding.
There's a lot of seasons. If I showed you it, it's like what Tobey Maguire. I feel like Spider-Man is based off of more. It's like that Fox series.
Please don't get upset with me. I'm upset. I feel like you're upset. I feel like you're bubbling over right now.
I am. I want to end this now.
I honestly don't remember the Fox.
Well, series. Anyways, the Fox series Spider-Man, where he looked like a grown man. He didn't. It was just him in the spandex suit, like. Handling villains, the Sinister Six, like thinking his way through problems and issues, like never needed any help. And it's crazy now. Like, I get it. I mean, in the comics, he is a young kid too. And I like Tom Holland as Spider-Man, but the suits and everything, he is getting very relying on those suits a lot. You know?
Yeah, it kind of feels like if they make a suit too great, then what's the point of him being in the suit? It could be anybody.
Right.
It could be his friend in the suit, you know? Yeah. If the suit just controls it and does everything himself. I do want to get into what was the next topic? I want to get into a little bit about
Godzilla.
Wow. This film. I don't know if Chad's seen this film, but this film right here, I'll tell you this much. I was blown away.
Really?
Had a ball with it. It was totally silly.
I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was like amazing.
No, I thought the
John Wick 3.
No, I thought the CG in it, I was for a spectacle. I didn't expect much.
Right. It's a Godzilla movie.
That's right. But the art direction, I thought, was really strong. Godzilla, you cheered for him when he got juiced up. Oh, it's awesome. I was down. I should have done a little Godzilla piece. I should have. I forgot to. I was going to draw one in the Deadpools, in the Sticky Wiki style.
What did you think about that ending and everything and how they left it? Are you looking forward to another one?
Yeah. Sure. Again. I don't really split hairs with some of these things, you know. Yeah. Some people might be really I want a little bit more character development for Godzilla. Yeah. He's a giant monster coming out of the water.
Right.
What do you want? He already had a lot of character.
I could have seen a little more of him too, though.
Really? What do you mean? Just showing up more often?
Yeah, like in the beginning more. But I get it.
Well, I guess Miguel's not happy.
No, I liked it. I'm not gonna. I like all the Godzilla movies, but yeah, I think that could always use a little more Godzilla fights. That's how it is. They don't want to give you too much, I feel like.
I thought he was really going to town on Mothra there, wasn't he?
Well, no, Mothra.
Oh, Mothra was the good one.
Yeah.
And Mothra helped him. Yeah. Who was the bad guy? Hydra.
Rodan?
Yes. Rodan.
Yeah.
I was scared.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
I was scared of it.
They had 11 in there on Change of Things. I wanted her to help, but she couldn't.
Didn't do much.
Yeah.
Didn't do much.
Waiting for her to use her powers.
But she still kind of looked to a green screen like she got so good at with Stranger Things.
I know. That's coming out. I can't wait for that.
That's going to be
Stranger Things season 3. The mall, 80s vibe. So cool.
Did you see that Nike? You sent me this. The Nike collab with the shoes.
Try to purchase those.
I know. And I just bought some shoes recently, too. I should have waited. I got some Huaraches. These white Huaraches are sick. Too. Well, I actually tried them on.
They're so comfortable. They're the most comfortable shoe.
It is. It feels like a pillow strapped to your foot.
People are going to get upset, but I'm going to say it anyways. I don't think a lot of Air Jordans are that comfortable.
No, they're not.
Okay, good.
I got the Dr. Scholl's in every single pair I have.
Okay, great. Because I was like, they are not comfortable.
Which blows me away that man did what he did in those flat soles.
Yes.
Well, I wonder what's wrong with his feet nowadays. Has anybody out there tried these things on? They're flat as all get out.
Oh, man. I was trying to get some.
It's a graham cracker crust.
Fours or fives, I can't remember which ones now, and they were rough.
Four is clunky, dude. Yeah. I was gonna wear them over tonight, but I don't feel like having my quad sore tomorrow. These things are 17 pounds a piece. Stop, you know.
Hey, welcome everyone to Make It All Better podcast.
Hey, everybody, thanks for coming in.
This is great catching back up,
Miguel. It's been too long. Also, we got a big week ahead.
Big week.
You know what happens on Friday, don't you?
What happens?
Oh, already came out. You already saw it.
Toy Story 4.
Guys, do kabooming over here. What'd you think?
Right. Loved it. It was great. Okay.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I think that the animation is off the charts. The texturing blew me away. Like, there's always been cool texturing but you really can see the different types of like plastic on the toys. The different types of toys have different types of textures.
Did you see this? That's awesome. Did you see the comparisons of the characters?
Yeah, from one and four. I mean, now it's done.
You have to see that they are the studio that has shown obviously the largest progress. They were the first ones to put out the CG animated film. When you see Toy Story 1 and you see that kid Sid. His face just hurts nowadays.
It's like worse than TV animation.
Well, it reminds me of back in the day with, you look at Super Mario Brothers, you know? Like, we thought that those graphics were the best. Those were the best. Because that's all we knew.
That's right.
Now, how do kids and how do people that are so now accustomed to this look, how do we continue to progress? Well, we probably felt that same way in 94 when Toy Story came out. Like, well, we've seen it all now, folks. This is as good as we're going to get.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And they continue to push and continue to push, continue to push. They make all their own proprietary software. That render man system and how they handle that, that's all them.
People are saying even the same thing with Incredibles 1 versus Incredibles 2. 9 day.
Well, you saw that scene. They had to actually reanimate the exact scene where the girl gets talked to by the cute guy at the stadium.
Yeah.
They did the exact side-by-side of that because they had to recreate that because her role with him is a little bit more. Because remember, he goes and tells on her or something. So they actually, but their little tweaks in their faces are just so subtle and perfect. Obviously they're very talented. I don't know.
So Toy Story 4, the other thing is, I thought it was a great emotional ending to an arc in 3, which no spoilers, 3, Andy grows up, he's going off to college, and he passes off his favorite toys to Bonnie, right? That's okay. Great.
Yeah, I kind of forgot what happened there, right?
Okay, yeah. So this one is a different type of arc ending. I won't give you any spoilers, but I think they did a great job, and there's a lot of fun characters in this one. And
this movie had a lot of problems getting started.
Right.
This has been developed for a while. Remember when Rashida Jones was attached? Rashida Jones was actually writing that to begin with.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
And then something happened. They liked the way that she did an indie film back like 7 years ago now. And so she got the gig with, I guess, her writing partner. And then it just disintegrated. And then they brought in the usual folks, I guess, that make these. I don't think it's Pete Docter. It's somebody else. It's like the Skeet Ulrich. No, he did. Lee, that's right. Skeet Ulrich from Scream. Yeah, Lee Ulrich did Coco.
Coco, yeah.
Yeah.
He's on there, right?
I think he's a writer on it.
He's always on all those, I think. What else we got here? What was the name of the first Robin in the Batman comics?
Huh?
Like, his actual name? Dick Grayson?
Dick Tracy?
Dick.
It's Dick Grayson. Hit us with another one, Papa. Come
that's
on.
That's too easy. Come on.
Come on. Dick Grayson. May as well just ask me my Star Wars, my favorite Star Wars character. I know that one, too. what other brand? I mean, this is pretty good. I like this.
Did you finish your cocktail?
Yeah. Yeah, that's gone. Okay. Yeah, that's gone. That's been gone with the wind, buddy.
Okay.
Then you can't put something like that in front of me and not expect me to pound that down. By the way, this is pretty sick here. Look whose logo is on this cup.
It's an older logo. Yeah, old MW.
This is Miguel Wilson's logo. What's cool about it is that you turned it upside down. What if I turned it upside down and just spilt everywhere?
Yeah, you didn't have anything. I could do that with mine.
Well, show the crowd then. Show them how you do this.
What? The MW yep, bow tie? Right.
Oh, that's why you changed it. It's a bow tie, dude.
Yeah.
Did you change it much?
No. What'd well, you now it's to? My mouse, my little emoji-like face.
Who did that for you?
I did.
You did your own emoji face. You drew it.
I drew it. Well, why would I have someone else draw it if I could draw it?
I thought that it was a program that you got a generator to draw it.
No, that's terrible. You think that? When you saw that, you thought it was program generated? That's I got to stylize it even more.
I don't
now.
Know if you need to worry about what I think about those, okay? No, that's exactly what this show is all about. Hey, it's the only thing about things. Hey, no, I didn't. I thought that you plugged in that your
that's
face.
That's great. It was
just like you do with looks the
official.
Other things.
It looks so official.
I do it with my Bitmoji character. He's great. No, he looks phenomenal.
This is no Bitmoji. This is hand-drawn and vectored by me.
I can't put down a bad line, can he?
It's going on my tombstone, hopefully, one day. We grow.
We won't be.
We
grow old, I got a little news flash for you, buddy. We're not going to be buried with tombstones.
No more. What's it going to be?
I don't know. I don't know. If I knew the future, I would know the future. I don't know that.
But I'd like to, I do. Tombstones.
Here's well, I don't think that we have enough room unless we want to be buried out in the middle of the desert somewhere.
Just promise me this. If you outlive me, I hope we're both 100 and something, you're going to speak at my funeral and you're going to go, yeah, that old Miguel couldn't put down a bad line.
You heard it here, folks.
Can't put down a bad line.
Yeah.
I hope you say old, too. That old Miguel.
I'm going to go, old Miguel. They go, why does he have an accent?
Yeah. Yeah, what?
Old Miguel. Can't put down a bad line. Put it right there.
Say,
the
what are you? What is he talking about? Who is this?
And
guy?
Guess what? The tombstone's going to have. I'm going to actually etch in that great Bitmoji that you drew of yourself right there on the front. Even though you don't look anything, I mean, you probably aren't going to change much.
Hopefully not.
You're going to age very well, probably.
I hope so.
Not good for you. Not good for you.
What do we got here? What superhero? Oh, first of all, so many display cases. I know a lot of. Collection
this might
us.
Be the first time that these folks might be joining us. Thanks for joining here, guys. Yeah, we're at Miguel's place here. We call it the Palace of Cool. No, the Museum of Cool, didn't we?
He just made that up, but we'll take it.
And he collects, man. He's got some great collection stuff here. You can tell a true fan, a true pop culture fan.
Inspiration.
Where he has this kind of loadout here. And our boy Danny Trejo's down here next to RoboCop, which is cool because right after the podcast, we go to Trejo's Tacos over in... Where is it? Woodland Hills, right?
Yeah.
Here, I'll move this.
You can't see it because of that.
We can get Trejo going right there. A machete! How does he say it?
Machete don't text.
You're pretty quick with that thing right there. Yeah, moving in, moving out.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to talk about something. I don't know how many. Hey, guys. You guys ran the 40 today in a little over 10 seconds. Pretty good. I did want to. Am I red? This red? What
this
is my problem?
Cool. We got lighting now going on here. We got some red
light. We have a fill light. We got a key light. You guys know what this is? Which one is the fill and which one is the key? Little lesson here with you guys. Little like MoGraph. This. Little MoGraph character design. That? Who knows which is the fill light on a face that has two sides of lighting? John Wick has cool. a lot of yeah. lighting like this. Usually one side is his purple side and one side is his blue side.
Right, right, right.
Which one is the fill and which one is the key? Anyone? Anyone?
Anyway, love the mask one. Thank you so much. What was the last question, too? What superhero was born with the...
With a...
Curse of Cordex.
Curse of Cordex. What superhero was born with the curse of Cordex?
That's a strong, hard question there. This is DC. It must be DC. Cordex sounds like it's something in the DC world.
Cordex, okay. RoboCop.
I don't even know that.
Don't give him that. I'm thinking one of the Eternals.
Curse of Cordex.
It does sound like a DC thing, doesn't it?
Curse, is it Ghost Rider? That's Marvel, though.
That could go with it. Ghost Rider. Nope.
Yes.
Wow.
Did you sign me up for Jeopardy yet?
Wow.
We're going on Family Feud.
Dude, he said no.
Oh.
It was RoboCop.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
I knew it was RoboCop.
He said yes, no. He said no. Where does it say RoboCop?
He said yes first to RoboCop and then no to you saying something about Ghost Rider. Hey.
Ghost Rider.
You know what? Ghost Rider's my man. Aquaman. Gabriel Luna.
It's Aquaman.
Oh, Aquaman. Really? I just saw Aquaman.
It was pretty good, right?
Yeah. No, it was really enjoyable.
I liked it.
Yo, that movie cost so much money. It's an incredible display of CG ridiculousness. Every single scene was green screened. Including his body, by the way.
Oh, really?
Girls, don't think that you can get that strong in real life. Sorry. I'm just kidding. He's pretty ripped. My buddy Gabriel Luna, big shout out to the man playing Terminator in the upcoming Terminator 3, Rise of the Darkness.
Yes,
Dark Fate.
Right.
Dark
see,
Fate.
This is your buddy. You see
this
him all the time, right?
This is my guy. I met him in December at a party, at a holiday party for a company that's doing a lot of the work on the film. I came up to him. I go, I've seen you from Arnold Schwarzenegger's Instagram. You're the next Terminator. And he goes, give me a thumbs up to all the people listening right now. And I go, dude, start talking to him. I, of course, name dropped some stuff. And he goes, you did that? He goes, you did with the Deadpool touches the unicorn. And I go, that's it. And he goes, oh, man. We became buddies.
You see him at Gold's Gym now?
Saw him at Gold's 2 weeks ago, waiting for Arnold, pumping. Spotted him. Not a big deal. Haven't showered since.
Spotted him, huh? Yeah. Gave him a high five.
He's pretty strong. Nah, we didn't. Actually, he told me to leave him alone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he thought I was getting a little encroaching the defense there.
You were
another
just
question?
Behind him while he was doing the lats?
Yeah, I got a little touchy-feely.
Okay.
We got a question here from Papa.
Question. Who cleans all the display cases is the real question. Well, I do. This is where I live. Yeah, that's easy.
Who do you think would clean it?
I mean, come on. What do you think? I got a maid that works for me? No.
What would get the dirtiest the quickest?
Or, What?
What would get kind of dirtiest the quickest? They get dusty. Or they don't get
they
dusty
don't get
because
dusty
they're inside.
In there. It's just the glass might get... It gets a little dirty when you leave because you're usually pressing your face and fingers across the glass, like talking to them. I don't know what you're saying.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I didn't think that you saw that. I thought you were in the restroom. I'm sorry.
I have cameras out here.
Oh, hachi-machi. That was a little awkward then.
Yeah.
Well, at least you get it cleaned up.
It's my job.
But
no, yeah, I try to keep everything pretty clean. It's reposing them from time to time, too, because if you're a figure collector, you know, especially these type of 1/6 scale, the clothing or some of the joints or whatnot could get kind of stiff or messed up if you leave them in the same pose too long.
Okay.
So
that explains why my snake eyes busted the other day.
No.
Yeah, he busted right. His rubber band busted inside of him. Mint condition, snake eyes busted. Did you say, want to come over and clean that? Want to come over and clean that, Miguel?
No.
You probably should come over and fix it.
I could. I am a figure expert.
No, really?
Well,
I
make toys for a living.
Well, yeah, but do you have the rubber band for the inside?
No,
can
those
we get
are
that?
Old, the old school ones. You can find one.
I don't know.
You can find one of those. That's, you need one of those little guys like from Toy Story 2.
Yeah, I know,
like,
the Tinker.
That guy was great.
Sick. I would say I don't need him. I don't need to have flexibility. I just look at him. I don't play with him.
Right.
So maybe I just crazy glue him together.
He's just a museum piece at this point.
You know what? I messed up. Snake Eyes, his arm fell off. Those Storm Shadows belt broken. Dude, I only have 3 G.I. Joes on display in Cloud Studios.
Are these guys fighting when you're not home?
There you go. They should make a movie about that. What happens when toys come to life?
They should call it The Story of Toys.
Tale of Toys. Toy Tale.
Okay, what do we got here?
I have a question for you, Miguel.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit. The viewers might have an interest or not interest in the creative side of this. We've been talking a lot about pop culture, which is great.
Okay.
A lot about movies, a lot about upcoming movies. But what I do for a living, what you do for a living, I work in a program called Photoshop a lot. It's where I do a lot of my digital artwork for clients, where I drew some of the films and continue to draw. And recently I've discovered art boards.
Okay. I know what you're
talking
about.
Are you going to make us another drink?
No, not yet. I'm going to give you some.
Well, uh-oh. Paused. Due to poor connection.
It's coming back. It's back.
No, I don't think that light's any good for us, buddy. I think we need to have this one on. Okay, guys, between a key and a fill light, the key light is the main light. The key light is the main light on a face. The fill light fills. See? So this will be a fill light here, I guess. This is actually kind of...
Key light is on window?
Yeah. Well, it's a little trickier because I would probably say the key light would be in the window. So there's that. Anyway, I want to talk about art boards really quick. And if you're doing a lot of comps at once, which I know that you do, use art boards in Photoshop.
Okay.
I can show you how to do it. Super, super simple.
Yeah, and then
you
can, right now everything's will just
one
be
file
out of
at a time, right?
One file at a time, each window.
And I did that for years with all my style frames. I would load up 9 to 12 style frames at a time, have them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And I would work on each one at a time.
Yep.
My, oh my, dude. Way of the dodo. What the heck was I doing? I went to that studio. I went into Buck. Okay. And I looked over these guys' shoulders, the best in the business here. And I saw what they're doing. And I go, I thought you could only do art boards. So I thought that was only necessary in Illustrator, which right. I don't really work in Illustrator very often. When I do, I only do it one thing and I get out.
Okay.
But they all had Photoshop like that because I didn't even recognize the program. I go, hold on. They're doing Photoshop stuff, but they're art boards. So obviously I'm way behind the curve on this thing. I think probably a few years now, old, if not longer.
Okay.
Maybe not. I don't know. But I would recommend them. I mean, now I'm not going
to check it out.
Yeah. Anyway.
Does it slow down the computer at all?
Well, the thing is that it does save one Photoshop file for all those frames.
Right.
So
that's
maybe
a big file.
So try to keep, if you are working on a complex design,
yeah,
do your one at a time.
I do like to draw big. So like I'll make the actual like
I think
drawing area of the artboard big already.
Yeah, I for a one-off piece, don't use an artboard. Use the one frame just like you do.
Yeah.
This is best for sequential, motion graphics sequential,
okay,
storyboarding in sequence. So that way you can see what's going to be happening. And also just for options in general, if you're doing sketches, do a low res, like 15 by 15 thumbnail. Inches, 72 DPI or 144 DPI or whatever, and just knock out a bunch of thumbnails and do it that way, without a lot of color. Because it does. I did notice I was going to hit undo a lot. And it would go and just like
Z's.
It would just chug. It would chug. I go, this computer should be great. I was at a studio and it was awful. There you go. Nice little tidbit there.
I gotta try this. You gotta show me this.
Well, we'll see. I'll charge you.
Okay.
Charge top dollar.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
I'll buy that for a dollar. Name that movie.
Yeah.
I'll buy that for a dollar. Actually,
I'd buy that for a dollar. It's pretty good, right?
What about this one? This one's a video game.
Okay.
Big money, big prizes. I already did this one. I love it.
Do you remember? Did you do it? I don't remember you doing this one.
Do you remember that line? Does anybody else remember that line? Big money, big prizes. I love it.
Anyone? For a prize.
The prize is one
Jedi
token. One Jedi token.
Okay, threw that out there.
One Jedi token. Anyway, the answer is Super Smash TV. Thank you very much.
I don't remember
Smash
that.
TV, yes. That was a great top-down game, Super Nintendo. Top-down, two dudes, like Contra. All baddies just come at you constantly as you go from room to room. Aerial shot. You get different guns, blow them away. And it's just survive. Survive the hordes that come at you.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's great. Great
Those game. Are the best games back in the day.
Yeah, it was like the way the Grand Theft Auto started out. The Grand Theft Auto, the first
like 30
iteration.
Grand Theft Auto 3. Yeah.
There you go. Top down and on the PC probably.
Oh, like 1, 2, yeah. Grand Theft Auto.
Seriously, no. The original ones were all top down, and it was cool.
Yeah,
not as cool as obviously what they turned into, which is probably arguably the best franchise, of all time. I mean, probably is the biggest.
That was Grand Theft Auto.
Rockstar.
Like, yeah, when they did the '80s one, what was it, a Vice City?
Oh, it did.
You're on the motorcycle. You can play the 80s music while you're riding through Miami.
Flock of Seagulls.
Oh, yeah.
Cocaine.
I just died in your arms tonight.
Ooh. What else do we have to go tonight?
It was a great catch-up session.
That was. This was
We did go over John Wick 3 last time, but no one will ever... It's in the hidden episode. It's not coming out.
Yeah.
We went over John Wick 3 last time. What else?
That's a shame.
We went over some fun stuff in the one that won't ever come out.
Do you want to talk about your... Have you, first of all, this guy, Keanu is like beyond massive right now. He's beyond massive.
He's like the definition of megastar.
Yeah, he shows up.
Are we going to be attending Comic-Con? Yes, we will. Justin mentioned earlier, I'll reiterate, that we'll both be at Comic-Con together. Justin will have some exclusive prints for sale. I will have an exclusive print as well. And you can catch us there. We'll be announcing on our social media, on Instagram later, exactly the whereabouts of where we'll be. So come check us out.
Yeah, thanks for that. Are you guys going to be there? If you are, what days? I'm going to be there Thursday through Sunday, I think. I don't think I'm going to make it Wednesday for preview night.
Right.
Thursday, a little bit late. going to just do.
So maybe the, Friday, Saturday will be the main days.
I think Friday, Saturday we'll do the pop-up shop. Yeah. You want to do that?
Yes, let's do it.
Not Sunday. That's like day to break down and you want to go out. I'm going to be at the pool a lot. The pool over at the Marriott. That's not true.
That's not true, but.
I can walk the floor for a while, but I really, I get really claustrophobic with that many people, man.
It's like nightclub shoulder to shoulder in there now.
It's really tough because they all got the big bags on the back yeah. with posters and everything else yeah. hanging out. You get slapped in the face. People have swords.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not complaining. I love the experience. The people are the most passionate. There's so much love for the genre, like we talked about.
Well, quit complaining, you know?
But here's the thing. I'm a complainer. What's somebody say? Sick. Yep. Yeah. Come on out. I don't know which day.
We'll figure it out when it gets like the week before and we'll announce it. We'll post some fun stuff because we're both working on stuff, cooking up some stuff.
Marvel's going to be back.
Yep.
Marvel's back this year.
Awesome. Yep.
DC is not, did I see?
I didn't really. They always have their like booth with all the costumes. And
oh, they should be this year because they got Joker. That's Wonder right. Woman.
I'm looking forward to Joker. Wonder Woman 84.
Whatever. Joker looks sick. Joker looks like not even a comic book
movie.
We
talked about that last time there too. No one here.
I think you're right. And right now I'm excited about talking about it because the typography in that trailer, second to none.
Okay.
Do a lot of typography for trailers. I've seen a lot nowadays. I've been looking at it now because I was able to design a few of these things. Now
those giant,
very very aware of the type that happens in a trailer because the type design can really. It needs to be thoroughly tied in with the tone of the show, of the movie, or the show. And it needs to inspire you to want to go see it. If it's mundane, if it feels like you've seen it before, let alone the edit of a trailer. The trailer business is a huge business. This is a massive business. These companies are making hundreds of millions of dollars for a trailer. Because what a trailer can guarantee you, if you have a good trailer that's cut well, it can guarantee you a $40 to $80 million opening. Potentially.
Right.
If the trailer's good
enough.
Because
you're bringing people out. That people want to see the rest.
Because if you put the best stuff in that trailer, then word of mouth, they don't care about. They might already know their product might not have legs, but they need to get that opening weekend because that's what it's all about. So if they spend a little bit more on that trailer, you heard what happened with Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
What happened with Suicide Squad is, I don't know if the viewers know this, but Suicide Squad, what happened is that they gave all the footage to a trailer house. Trailer house edited it. David Ayers edited his movie, okay? Trailer House came up with the Queen song.
Queen song for it.
Was it? What was it?
Bohemian, no, no, what? It wasn't.
No, it was.
It was.
Jesus. Anyway,
this
forgot.
Is the real life.
Yes, that is.
It is
fancy.
Yeah.
Caught in a landslide. No,
it's
game.
It is Bohemian Rhapsody.
That is right. Yeah, yeah, yep. So
we should have kept singing that, but we'll stop.
They're like, why not? Life is in the air.
Yeah.
So, once this Trailer House re-edited this footage and included that needle drop. That kind of thing where you put that music in there. DC said, we love the reaction this trailer got. Hey, Trailer House, can you guys also edit the movie? They gave them all the footage away from David Ayers. This is the story. And then they both edited the film. A director edited his movie, and then the Trailer House edited it, and they did a combination. They tested both versions. And if you watch Suicide Squad, it's all needle drop music, which means it's all like cuts to like it's like a music video. It's a music video.
Okay.
There's so many songs. Many licensed songs.
Because they released what? The one the trailer house?
No, what they did, they tested them and they both got the same kind of numbers and so they combined the two. And David Ayer said, I don't know if they paid him hush money or whatnot, but I doubt that he'll ever be directing anything with DC again. That has to be a massive slap in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, you're giving it over to a place that is doing like a bite-sized version of your film, and that's what happened. So anyway, the trailer for Joker, the reason I brought this up is that the type for Joker is so sick. Top-to-bottom typography, yep. Sans-serif typeface, all the letters are all hand-tweaked. They're all very well done. I don't know who did it. It's gorgeous. It hits you in the face. And it's one of the best trailers I've seen in a long time.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great. It already makes you cheer for him.
Totally. Totally. And they're using his body as a character, which is fascinating because when they have that over the back shot, when he has his, you know, Joaquin Phoenix has that shoulder that's kind of like always dislocated or something that must have happened. When he's using that to kind of pop his back out like that on that over the shoulder.
Yeah.
It's just, that's just full on creep. That's full on creep mode, right?
We got 25 seconds left in live.
Oh, very nice. So
we're going to say thank you to whoever's still in the room and that tuned in. We appreciate it. Justin and I do a podcast called the Make It All Better podcast. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. We have 3 episodes out already. This is going to be the 4th episode. After it gets edited, it will be up. So if you haven't checked it out, check us out already. And see you next time.
Bye, y'all. Nice job. Miguel Wilson, everybody. Such a gracious host. Next time we'll be back. Episode 6.
Thank you. Next time we'll be episode 5. Oh, no. This
We're
is 5.
Skipping.
I messed up. We skipped 4.
Come on, JoJo. All right, guys.